Colby Sharp, you're a teacher, a reader, a creator. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to be those things.
Sure. I was born and raised in a tiny town, the tiny town of Parma, Michigan. It is right off of I-94. It's a one blinking light town, very, very small. And I went through school my whole life there, and then when I was a senior in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And we read to elementary students on Fridays. I was a football player, and every Friday we went and we read to the elementary students. And I loved it. And I thought it was the coolest thing that I ever done. I loved how excited the kids were to see us. I loved sharing stories with them. And I just knew within two or three times of doing that I was going to be a teacher. So that's when I made that decision. I then went to our local community college and then transferred to Western Michigan University and became a teacher. I taught for 6 years in Battle Creek and in Lakeview Community Schools at Mingus Brook Elementary. And during my time at Lakeview, I really fell in love even more with children's literature. We had some really amazing literacy coaches there that really pushed reading workshop and helped us to just know the power of books. And from there I started Twitter, and then through Twitter I met a lot of great friends, and through those relationships I helped start Nerdy Book Club, which is an online reading community through a blog, and we have had almost 1,000 people write posts for Nerdy Book Club since 2011. Yep, and now I'm back teaching in Parma, Michigan, back where I started.
Fifth grade, right?
Yeah, it's magical.
You know, pretty straight line, I'd say.
Yeah.
You discovered pretty early on what you loved.
Yeah, I think that when you know what you want to do, you know, and there's no reason to look back or to slow down, just go for it.
So is it nerdy to read?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what nerdy means. To us, nerdy means that you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
And that you care tremendously about it and you think it's awesome. So I think some people it's nerdy to read. I think for some people it's nerdy to play sports. For some people it's nerdy to write computer code. I think everyone needs to find something that they're nerdy about.
Embrace your nerdiness.
Absolutely.
But now you have a book coming out, The Creativity Project. Tell us about that. How did you get the idea? How did you get all these people to participate? And what you're hoping to accomplish with the book?
I was interviewing the author of Caps and Underpants, Dave Pilkey, in Chicago, on his way to an author visit for a podcast that I co-host with my friend Travis Yonker called The Yarn. And we asked him where he started and when he started Captain Underpants, where the idea came from.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he started it when he was in the hallway in elementary school because he was kicked out of class. And that just stuck with me, thinking like, man, ideas come from everywhere. And you never know where a story is going to come from. And you never know where an idea is going to bloom, and things can come from anywhere and anything. And mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how, you don't have to wait until you're an adult. You don't have to wait till you've graduated from college. Ideas come from anywhere and everywhere. And so I just was really thinking about that. And I was talking with my agent, Molly O'Neill, about it. And we kind of brainstormed it and went back and forth. And the idea just kind of developed from there. And then we sent it off to publishers. And Susan Rich from Little Brown, we had a meeting with her, and through my vision and her vision for it, it kind of grew into what it became the Creativity Project. And from there, we started with a list of people that we wanted to be a part of the book. And we just put anyone and everyone we could think of, well over 100 names. And from there, we kind of narrowed it down to think of, we wanted a lot of different types of creators. We wanted people who create comics, people who create nonfiction, people who do fantasy, realistic fiction, picture book authors, illustrators. We wanted to have a little bit of everything. And we also wanted to make sure that it had a diverse group of creators, so that weren't just everyone who looked like me or were from places like I'm from.
Yeah.
And from there, I just started emailing them, and thankfully, most of them said yes.
Is there a recommended age for the book? And I'm reluctant to ask that because I had such fun paging through it that I'd like to say it's for all ages. But what's the recommended age level?
Yeah, I think that most creators were probably creating pieces for middle grade readers. So in that third to seventh grade range, I would say. But yeah, like Deborah Friedman's pieces is a picture book, like an early picture book, her Hickory Dickory Dock piece. And then like Grace Lynn's piece, I could see much older readers getting a lot of value out of it. But from talking with teachers who have seen it, a lot of high school teachers are really excited just for the process of it, the process of having multiple prompts and choosing one and giving writers freedom to create something in any way that they'd like. That's one of the things that I love the most is we basically just told them, you get this much space in the book, create whatever you'd like, which is really fun because we have short stories, we have comics, we have poems, we have illustrations, we have all kinds of different things.
I'm going to toss a prompt at you, Colby, and see how
you do. Well, I already did it in the book. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my life.
Really? Why was it terrifying?
Because I knew that I was going to write something that was going to appear in the book, a book with my heroes. Right? Like, I'm going to write something that's going to sit in the same, between the same covers as a Kate DiCamillo piece and a Sherman Alexie piece and a Dan Santat piece and a Lauren Castillo piece. So, yeah, that was... It was terrifying, but I'll try.
All right. Well, let's try this one. By Kat Yeh, you have a brand new audio translation app on your phone. Just as you click on it for the first time, your dog starts barking and words begin to appear on the screen.
So I will answer it from my dog's point of view. My dog's name is Goose. She is a white dog. She's a lab/Dalmatian mix, and she would just say, when are we going for a run? 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 Because my dog is obsessed with running.
Yeah.
And that's what she would say. Absolutely. And that's one that the Caldecott medalist, Javaka Steptoe, he got that prompt.
You know, I also imagine it on road trips that, you know, you're all in the car, the whole family, and somebody reads off a prompt and the whole family can contribute.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah. So how can we, other than your wonderful book and these kind of prompts, as a school teacher, how can we encourage creativity and reading?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that. And for creativity, I know that school is a busy place and we have so much that we need to cover and we have so many things that we need to get done and we are... Teachers are feeling so much pressure to meet all of their standards and get their kids to test well and to perform well. And
yeah, sometimes I wonder if we get bogged down in those tests and we lose creativity.
Yeah, and I made a decision this year to try a creative start to our day. So every single day, my students come in and the bell rings at 8:25. Most of the kids are down here by 8:35. And they have until 9 o'clock to... make whatever they want. They can create anything that they want. They can create a arcade game out of cardboard. They can create a story with paper and pencil. They can create a story on a computer. I have multiple students that are creating podcasts. I have students that are creating stop motion videos. I have students that are drawing. I have students that are coding. I have made the choice to give my kids time to create, and it is honestly one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my classroom. The kids are loving it. They refuse to give it up for anything. I had a parent say, my student is struggling with this. Could they use some of their creative start time to maybe work on that? And I was going to say yes, but this kid, a very quiet kid, was very adamant, saying, no, Mom, I cannot give up creative start time. It's the best time I've ever had at school. I'll practice at home. I'll practice at the weekend. On the weekends, I'll do whatever I can to not lose that time.
Parents can threaten to ground their children from creativity time, eh?
Well, I think that they just wanted to try to find a time where they could find it in school. And I love that the kid was just loved that time so much. And so I think more than anything, kids need time. They need space and they need materials. And if you give them that, if you give them the opportunity to create, then they'll make amazing things. So I think we just have to, if we want creativity to be important, then, you know, there's nothing more valuable than time. So if we give kids time and a little coaching here and there, then they'll make awesome things.
Are you thinking about any kind of a closing event or show, like a publication or anything of all these wonderful things that your students come up with?
It's really hard to not make it too much like school. Like, I keep having to fight making it too much like school. Like, at first I was like, oh, while kids are creating, I can call small groups and we can work on this. Or while kids are creating, I could teach them this. Or while kids are doing this, we could do this. Or we should have a final project, or we should have this or that. And I think so much of school is about the final project and the goals that we're working towards. And I don't want it to be like that. Like, I want it to just be there making things.
Yeah, you're right.
And we do have we have this thing called Market Day that we have every holiday. Instead of having holiday parties, we have Market Day where kids make something at home and then they sell it. Like, they have like fake money and then they sell things to each other and buy things. It's fun. So I have two classes, a morning class and an afternoon class. And my morning class, actually, most of them chose to use creative start time to make cardboard arcade games, like in the Kane's Arcade model. And so they actually had, like, Market Day was like their final show where they had, where kids from the other, their fourth and fifth grade classes came in and played their games. It was really, really cool.
And what do you tell parents if they come to you and say, how can I encourage my child to be more creative or to read more or perhaps even to write?
Yeah, I would, number one, I would say no television in the bedroom. I think that's huge.
Television? What about computers, electronics, technology?
Yeah, I think that's a parent-by-parent thing. That's a tricky thing, and I don't know if I'd feel comfortable talking to parents about what to do with those devices, because I know a lot of schoolwork is done on those devices.
True.
But I think, number one, I would say no TV in the room, because I think one of the biggest times that kids read is before bed. And I know that when they have a TV in their bedroom, then they watch TV before bed. So I think that's why I go there with the television. But I think it's the same thing that I had, the choices that I had to make in class. Like, we need to make time for it. Like, are we making time? Like, do we have creative time built into our day at home? I know kids are running, but if we can make sure that we build in time to create, where everyone in the family is creating, maybe it's one night a week and then an extended period of time on the weekend. But I think if you give kids time, if you give kids the materials and the space, then you'll find that kids want to make things and kids are creative at heart. And I think that so often it's not that kids stop being creative. I think it's that the creativity is just beaten out of them by the world that we live in.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Nerd Camp Michigan, what's that about?
So we started about 5 years ago in Battle Creek. We did the first one there. I run it with an amazing team of educators here in town, here in Parma, Michigan. We all kind of work here in the same district in Parma. We started it in Lakeview because I was teaching in Lakeview at the time, and they had a brand new high school. And what it is it is a literacy event. It started as a literacy event for educators, and it ran following the Ed Camp model, which is you have no set schedule. You just have basically a blank schedule when you get there, and then people decide what they want to learn about. And it's not so like normal conference sessions. It's more conversational and more discussion-based. And we had 180 people come. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then the next year, we moved it to Parma Western High School, and we had a few more people, and we added an event for kids. And now it's a two-day conference. The first day for teachers is that Ed Camp, or not the Ed Camp, it's a traditional conference model with scheduled sessions. So that's the first day. And then the second day, we have the Ed Camp model, where it's no scheduled sessions, more discussion-based. And for the last 4 years, we have Nerd Camp Junior, where authors come and present to kids, and kids get to go to three sessions with authors. We feed them. We give them all a free book. And I think last year we had almost 1,000 kids show up.
Nice.
And 1,400 educators from more than 40 states.
And the classroom library tour, that's something I saw on your website, that goes through 2017 and into 2018. What is that about?
So that I was just giving people a tour of what my classroom library looks like. It's, you know, a few thousand books organized by genre, by author, by topic. And I wanted people to see just like how to go about setting up a classroom library, how to make it your own, the importance of having tons and tons of books just right next to where kids are most of the day.
Is it something that you would recommend that children have books of their very own at home in their bedrooms, say?
Absolutely. I think that access to books is the biggest thing that keeps kids from reading, and that is a big reason why kids that come from, you know, lower socioeconomic backgrounds don't read as much because they don't have access to books.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have their books in their homes, and they don't have books that they want to read where they can get them very easily. You know, yeah. when they have barriers between them and books, they're not going to read it. But, you know, when they're sitting in a home with thousands of books and they're going to a classroom where there's thousands of books, then they're going to be much more likely to read. And the best way to become a better reader is to spend time reading. So, kids need to have access to books. It's everything.
Thanks so much, Colby, for taking some time to talk with us today.
Thank you. This was fun.